I'm reading from the 12th chapter of Romans. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, holy and pleasing to God, this is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Thank you, Joan. Stay over here at the side to give you some chance of seeing the screen when something goes up there. How are we doing? That Jesus told his disciples to pray was, Father, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I find it helpful to look at Romans 12, not as a list of do's and don'ts, but rather as a glorious picture with things being done on earth as they are done in heaven. So I'd like us to take a look at verses 3 to 20, which contains that description of things done that way, and then at the end to come back to verses 1 and 2, which are what Paul earnestly Rome, and indeed for us too. So, to our outline, first of all, verses 3 to 8, living in the body of Christ. Verses 9 to 20, living in love action. And then verses 1 and 2, living as a living sacrifice. Living. For by the grace given me, Paul says, I say to every one of you, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Stay in touch with the spirit of truth and reality. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. John Wesley, founder of Methodism, used to say, "There is no such thing as a solitary Christian. We are members of an orchestra. And Jesus is the conductor. Orchestras play symphonies. And symphony means sounding together in harmony. So, how do we do that? Well, Paul says we have different gifts. According to the grace, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." Now, there's one gift per person list. You may have more than one. But can you hear the orchestra playing in the body of Christ as each instrument contributes its unique sound? Love in action, verses 9-20. Love must cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. So love is authentic. It's tenacious. It's devoted. It's other person focused. Can you feel heaven? Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who stay focused. Love keeps at it. Love remains joyful, patient, faithful in prayer. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, says the Lord. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For in doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head." By treating your enemy as a friend, you will make him feel uncomfortable, and perhaps he will change his disposition towards you. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. When God's will is done on earth, here and now, as in heaven, it is done knee-deep in the filthy mud of human depravity and evil. Rather, it overcomes evil with good. When he was being crucified by evil people, Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He was not overcome by evil. He overcame evil with good by bearing the sins of his enemies in his own body. So there, I thought we might do now, just to freshen you up a bit, is to turn that section into a declaration of faith and obedience for 2026. So I invite you now to say that together with me, if you can in good conscience, speak these words. Make this declaration for the coming year. Ready? Here we go. By the grace given to us in 2026, we will not think of ourselves more highly than we ought, but rather we'll think of ourselves with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of us. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If our gift is prophesying, then we will prophesy in accordance with our faith. If it is serving, then we will serve. If it is teaching, then we will teach. If it is to encourage, then we will give encouragement. If it is to lead, we will do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, we will do it cheerfully. By the grace of God, our love in 2026 will be sincere. We will hate what is evil and cling to what is good. We will be devoted to one another in love. We will seek to be never lacking in zeal, but to keep our spiritual fervour serving the Lord, being joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. We will share with the Lord's people who are in need, practice hospitality, and bless those who persecute us. We will dance and mourn with those who mourn. We will live in harmony with one another, not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position, and not be conceited. We will not repay anyone evil for evil, but will be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If possible, as far as it depends on us, we will live at revenge. We will leave room for God's wrath. As God has said, it is his to avenge, and he will repay. So, on the contrary, if our enemy is hungry, we will feed him. If he is thirsty, we will give him something to drink. In doing this, we hopefully will turn his heart around. By the grace of God, we will not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Come. And your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Sounds like a good year. And we've put that declaration in your notice sheet so you can take it home. And that brings us then to the core of the matter in verses 1 and 2. Living as a living sacrifice. Brothers and sisters, And the word, frankly, is a bit stronger than urge. The Greek word, the Greek word is more, I implore I beseech you, offer your bodies. Again, we have to think the offering to God. This is not a condition. Oh, thank you. Screw me up. Thank you. Good. This is not like if you come to my house, I'll offer you a drink. Would you like it? You know, it's a presentation. Present your bodies. Give your bodies. Paul is not offering the Christians in them to become fully what they are in Christ. A living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Our bodies, as I'm sure you will have discovered, are a wonderful servant, but they're a terrible master. True. Keeping it on God's altar is a living sacrifice to be, where all of its capacities are in the service of Christ. Thinking, seeing, hearing, speaking, working, going, enduring. And the plural, bodies, is noteworthy, because this is something we do personally, but it is also, as believers, we are to encourage one another. Come on, guys, let's do this together as the body of Christ. A living sacrifice. The word sacrifice always has with it. If you choose the best sheep in your flock, and this illustration always hits me because I was a sheep farmer, choose the best, not the best sheep, Lord, and sacrifice it to God, you give up all benefit of having and owning that sheep. In Romans 6, Paul shows us what a living sacrifice, as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. This presentation of ourselves to God as a living sacrifice is beautifully contained and expressed in Paul's statement, which I'm sure you have taken to yourself in faith, in Galatians 2:20. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That is what a living sacrifice is. With the words, in view of God's mercy. Now, in this little part, there are two meanings we have to see if we can get hold of. The first one is that Paul is saying, look, because the Lord Jesus has presented his body as a living sacrifice for your salvation, in the light of this overwhelming mercy, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Using love initiative on our Lord's part, full and voluntary love response on our part. There is a difference, of course, in the offering, for his offering is the astounding case of the Supreme King over all, innocent and glorious, becoming the sacrificial Lamb of God, who bears away into of all his subjects, even the worst. It is in view of this mercy that we respond. The second meaning comes from looking at the little word that we translate in view of. It's a little Greek word, dia, and it simply means through. Through God's mercy, offer yourself. You see, the Romans to do is actually impossible to do, humanly speaking. It can only be done through the grace of God. Please allow me a personal illustration. In November 1969, 56 years ago, having earlier married my sweetheart, Shirley, from New Zealand, I had a one morning. I awoke out of a deep sleep to a totally conscious and compelling conviction that we were to leave the farm and enter the Christian ministry. It was so profound that I woke Shirley up and asked her if she could be a pastor's wife. She mumbled something, I suppose. She had always prayed that she would marry a farmer. She did. Yeah, missed out on it. Got to read the fine print. The following day, after that happened, I drove the 3 Ks to Mum and Dad's house on the farm and told my mother and father. This news was devastating to my dad because I was an only son. And we had a great picky. There we are with our champion ram at the Adelaide show. Following my telling Dad, I walked out into a nearby paddock which overlooked the farm. As I stood there, I can remember saying to myself, Rod, you have just given all of this away. You have just sacrificed your love of the Lord. But the point for me at this point, and please get this, of recalling this, is not to make something of what a great thing I surely did that day, but actually to make the opposite point. Believe me when I tell you, I was totally powerless to do such a life-shattering thing. I was cemented in. No, it was done entirely through the mercy of God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, through the mercy of God, offer yourself. You see, it's the same presenting your body as a living sacrifice to God can only be done through God's active mercy in your life. And it still does, is from 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he who calls you, for he will do it. For a while there I thought it read, faithful is he who calls you, so you better do it. But that hit the wall. Offer yourselves as a living thing to God. Now there's a problem here. If I offer my sin-sozzled soul to God as an offering, that's a bit like Liam. Now, he's gone out. I wanted to use him as an illustration. That's a bit like Liam offering his dirty nappy to Mum and Dad. Yeah. Now, for this illustration, I'm going to use one of the nappies, not the modern landfill ones. Mum or Dad has to take that nappy and wash it and cleanse it. Not a particularly attractive task. But with the assistance of a powerful cleanser, lo and behold, a nice, clean, fluffy, white. Then it is holy and acceptable and will be pleasing when it is reapplied to Liam's derriere. Now, we cannot make our sin-stained soul, it's hard to say, holy and acceptable to God. But Jesus has done that. As we read in 1 Corinthians, the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. In white and fluffy, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And this, says Paul, is your true and proper worship. Now, the word for true and proper is the Greek word logikon. It's only used a couple of times in the New Testament, that word. And some translations say your reasonable worship. The reasonable worship, true and proper for someone who has been crucified with Christ and raised to new life with him. Goes on and starts to spell it out, to the pattern of this world. Now, the pattern of this world is sin. And sin has a great big eye in the middle of it. The Apostle John reminds us that the whole world is the one. And that principle and power is self instead of God, the big eye. Indeed, it is self as God. That's the pattern of the world. Do not be conformed to that pattern. People today who identify as queer, not queer at all, they conform to the pattern of this world. The people who are really queer in this world are Christians, because we do not conform to the pattern, but rather present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Man, that is really queer. Anyone who does it will be regarded by the world as insanely queer. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because you and I were born with the big eye in the middle of the everything, our minds need to be completely renewed. In fact, we need to be born again. A new creation in Christ. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. The great reformer John Calvin comments on these words. Paul affirms that the only thing which pleases God is that which he has commanded. The world, in order to find perfection, escapes from the word into new inventions. That perfection lies in the will of God, and shows that if any one transgresses this limit, he is deluded by a false imagination. So here we are, heavenly glory in the midst of earthly mud. Categories of humans. There are the servants of the good shepherd, you know, those goody-goody religious types. And then there are the slaves of the devil, the despicable bad people. But then in the middle, there is perhaps a larger group who shun the extremes and occupy the steady, sane. But if there is a world war on, is there a middle ground? Is it not true that there is today a world war on between God's Messiah King and his enemy, the devil? Those who claim neutrality and refuse to join the king in his fight against are in reality pawns whose neutral status assists the enemy. As the saying goes, all that is required for evil to prevail is that good people do nothing. Currently, I am rereading one of my favourite heroes, C.T. Studd. In the late 1800s, equivalent of Australia's Chapel Brothers, they played cricket. There they are in their finery. They all played for England, and C.T., as he was known, was the best of the three, being both a batsman and a bowler. In fact, trivia, he played in the Test series against Australia, after which the bales were burned and put in a little urn and known henceforth as the Ashes. To the call of God, C.T. gave away all of his considerable wealth to mission organisations. And then he and his wife and daughters spent many years in China. Then 6 years in India. And finally, when in his 50s, C.T. went to Africa and spent the rest. At the time of his going, he was a grandfather by then, his health was so poor with asthma and other ailments that no mission organisation would accept him. But he left England with nothing in his pocket and trusted only God for his provision. His wife, whose heart was too frail to go with him, stayed at home to support him. Started WEC, Worldwide Evangelisation Crusade, which grew into one of the largest mission organisations in the world. Living alone in the heart of Africa, I don't think I have sound there. Living alone in the heart of Africa, to waken him at 4 a.m. each day with a cup of tea when he would read the scriptures and pray. He and his team brought the light of the gospel to the dark jungle regions of Central Africa. Here he is in his, about the last year of his life, when he was about 73. It's not hard to imagine the Lord saying to him, "Well done, C.T. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Well, okay, so, but are you saying that everyone should do something like what you and Shirley did or what C.T. did? No. All you have to do is something even more wonderful. And that is to do what God calls you to do. He calls you in view of his incredible mercy to offer your body as a living sacrifice pleasing to God. For this is your true and proper worship. He calls you not to be conformed to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you are able to test and approve the perfect and pleasing will of God. When the day finally came for the people of Israel to enter the land that had been promised so long ago to Abraham, their new leader, Joshua, said to the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders." Dear brothers and sisters whom I love, is it not true that God is saying to us here at Trinity Woodcroft, "Consecrate yourselves, for this year, 2026, the Lord will do wonders among you"? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thought that we would come to church, get a bit of nice Bible teaching and have a cup of coffee and chat with our friends. But here we have fallen into the hands of the living God. And you are wrestling with our souls. Father, over, give us the power to do as your word says, and to know in our hearts by faith that you have done it and that we are yours. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.